This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
We've gone on site to so many different places. In the end, we decided to put a lot of money behind our online teaching, teacher training that we got. There's about £15,000 to £20,000 behind those videos and getting everything set up, the studio, the slides, and so on, and the full thing. So anyway, I asked Brother Javid to get the staff, it's yourselves, to go through the videos group by group, and then whoever's controlling this, you don't need to put it in the Nada. So I'll get Nada as I was speaking, don't worry. I don't want to put too close. Anyway, so Brother Javid said that you've gone through the contents and the different questions that you had, alhamdulillah, most of those were addressed in the teacher training videos. And then the few questions you've got for us, we're going to cover them today, and also extra questions that you've got after watching the videos, we're going to be going through that as well, inshallah. So let's start straight off with the first one, which is we want to go through that. So we're going to go through this hadith that you see on the projector screen, which is a hadith Aisha radiallahu anha, she reports from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that ahabbul a'mal, the most beloved of all actions, are those that are performed regularly, though they may be few. There may be little in quantity, but they will be regular. Now, how is that applying to this teacher training? You are teachers, and you need to understand your teaching is going to be as good as the repetitions you make. Teaching is not lecturing. Teaching is instilling. Okay, it's instilling. So what that means is that, and I remember one of my dear teachers, Mawlana Fadhl Rahim, Rahimullah, he said this again and again. He said, in teaching, what happens is the teacher repeats again and again. And as he repeats, what happens is humans, when you hear something first time, it goes in your mind, but not really all you forget. But those things you heard again and again and again in your life, you tend to remember those things, you know, for your life. If you look in the Quran, Allah Azza wa Jalla didn't say once. He could have said once in the Quran, he would have sufficed for us to say, Inna Allah ala kulli shay'in qadir. Surely Allah has power over everything. But what did Allah do? Allah repeated this part, this particular verse again and again throughout the Quran. He even said, Innaka ala kulli shay'in qadir. Sometimes you, O Allah, you're the one who has power over all things. Sometimes he said, Innahu. You know, he is the one referring to Allah again. But he repeat, oh, Wallahu ala kulli shay'in qadir. Allah is the one who has power over everything. Why did Allah repeat this? And similar verses like Dasirun, Allah sees everything. Sami'un, Allah hears everything. Once would have sufficed in the Quran if Allah said, but no, Allah repeated. Why? Through repetition, teaching gets instilled. So whatever you're teaching, do remember that. And remember that whatever we are giving them, and the suffering syllabus has been created that way, that anything you're teaching new again will be reinforced again in the future. So you find that throughout your teaching, whatever you thought of salah, things continuously add on. And when you've got to a certain stage, you'll see revisions appearing in the beginning of the first 2 weeks of your teaching. Those revisions again will capture those essential information that you want your students to remember. Now, how do you engage young learners? These are part of your questions that came to us. How do we engage these young learners So you've got a number of things. But if you've gone through the teacher training, something different from the norm that you do. Can you take this? Okay, so you're going to plan your lessons and you're going to do it in a way where you come to the lesson with something that you teach your students are going to remember that lesson. Okay, this is you. Your planning has to be done. They say if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. If you fail to plan, you plan to fail. So coming in that lesson, this is your, how long is your Islamic study lesson in UTIT? An hour?
Hour 15 to hour 30.
So look, for 1 hour 15 minutes, I've got to have a full lesson plan, and our teacher training will tell you to do this. So you've got at the beginning, how am I going to open this lesson? How am I going to introduce this lesson to my students? Let's have a quick 5 minute chat about the quick, you know, aims, objectives, or the summary of the, you know, of this lesson. Thereafter, I'm going to go to the main part of my lesson. How am I going to deliver it? What activities am I going to use? Now, with this, again, the teacher's guide that you got for each of the different years, if you've read that properly, you can choose how many minutes you want to use of what activity. You don't have to use all of them. So you don't have to use every single thing that we've suggested. You can use one of them. They'll give you ideas. So you say to yourself, 10 minutes I'm going to do this, 15 minutes I'm going to do that, 20 minutes I'm going to do this. So let's say you're going to create some group work. In that group work, you're going to give them, you know, you come prepared, you say, okay, let's have a quick session. Let's say you're doing about, the lesson might be about internet, music, the technology that is out there. So maybe I'll come to the lesson and I'll get my students to get into groups already with the tables that are already there. And I'll give each one something on the table to discuss. How much internet usage do you have in a week, and what do you normally do, you know, in that internet usage? I might just do that. And another table might be, you know, are there any games that you play, online games? What game do you play? And what do you, what are the things that you get involved with in the week, and how many hours do you play on those games? Stuff like that. So anyway, my thing will be then to get those groups together. My planning is to have that discussion. Maybe one person stands up from a group, talks about what that group discussed. It's very interactive, and then I'll be delivering. Of course, I've got the book, I've got the content set. This is in year 3, there's a whole thing about internet, games and technology. Now, if I've come prepared, by reading that entire material. I'm going to now tell them parts of what's already on there, and now I'm going to get them to further talk and discuss about what they should do, how useful they can make their own time at home or outside when they come in contact with this technology and so on and so forth. So this is part of preparing lessons. Another one is effective storytelling. So look, effective storytelling, which you see on that, again, the whole thing of demonstration is there on our teacher training. Some of you, if you've seen it, can you please put your hands up? Those of you who see the storytelling, okay, that's good, that's about maybe just 7 or 8 of you, okay. Let me give you a demonstration, because stories adults love more than children. Remember that. Stories children love, but adults love stories more than children, especially if it's a story that is true story that gives you morals. And this is why the Quran is full of stories. Those stories are the stories of the prophets, and those stories we've captured into the books. And not only that, we put the morals with it. Now, there's a way of telling your story. You can simply come to the lesson, and you can make everybody read the story. That's going to be the most boring lesson you will create. Everybody sits there, they read a paragraph. Oh, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was challenged to, with the magicians. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam agreed. Fir'aun brought his magicians together, and they came on the day of the festival, and they were now going to display a show. Somebody reads that in the lesson, and you say, has everybody understood that? Yes, you all understood that? Yes, that's what happened. They had a festival day, and everyone's going to come together, and they're going to have this, challenge. Musa is going to challenge them. Now, if you can talk about all day from the book, reading from the book, it's going to be a boring lesson for the children. If you come prepared, you read that story over and over again, okay, prepare it in your head. If you have to deliver it in your house before you come to the children on the weekend, deliver it to your own children if you have to. Okay, some of the famous orators in the world, you know what they did to make themselves stand out with their delivery? They delivered their self. How you know a lot of the people who do this stand up, there's a lot of facial expression, there's the voice, there's the tone, there's the pace that you talk at. And everything makes it so interesting. You're one person, one voice, but you make it interesting. How? So let me give you a demonstration. Fir'aun summoned the best of the magicians in the entire greatest civilization on the earth, Egypt. He called them together, as if this Musa, a shepherd from yesterday, is going to be able to take on the grand magicians of Egypt. And do you see that? That's just one sentence or two sentences I put together. But there's so much in that. There's the whole, you know, it gives you the thing of, yeah, wow, yeah, that's it. These are great, not only great magicians, you're telling them this is Grand Egypt, this is Moses, the shepherd. So there's already, you know, a scene that you're interested in knowing what's going to happen. So here's the day when the festival, oh yes, everyone's here. The whole city's here. Everyone from young and old, they're coming to watch this big show. Because today, whoever wins is going to leave an impression on the people of Egypt. And Pharaoh knew that he had Musa a.s. called. And Musa himself, he feared in his heart what is going to happen. So Allah Azzawajal, he contented. He gave content to Musa a.s. He said, don't worry, the moment will come. And that moment came. When all were there present, Pharaoh, his whole army, his soldiers, the general public, everyone was watching in the middle, a large circle, and the magicians came with their sticks and their ropes, and they threw them onto the ground. What did they see? They saw snakes, cobras, pythons, great snakes, small ones, all moving around. An amazing presentation they gave. And Musa alayhi salam, when he saw that, he was struck with fear. What did he do? Allah said to him, Musa, don't fear. Take the staff. Just throw it onto the ground. And when he did that, his stick became the greatest of all serpents in front of all of these different sticks and ropes that they had, which they bewitched the eyes of people. Really, they were just sticks and just ropes. But in reality, Allah Azza wa Jalla showed them the real miracle when that great serpent came up and went and he sucked in all those ropes and sticks inside it. And Musa alayhi salam just touched the snake, turned into a star, and everyone was gobsmacked. They looked. The magician didn't know what to do. Their own ones had been swallowed up by the stick of Moses. They fell into prostration. And they said they're going to believe in the Lord of Musa and Harun. Now look, I've got all of you engaged in. All of you adults there have heard this story so many times. You've heard that story. But why is it that you were engaged? Why is it that you wanted to listen? Look, there's so much in that in terms of the tone, where I stopped, where I carried on, where I lowered my voice, where I created an intense moment, where I raised the moment again, just to create that whole suspense. What's going to happen next? And when I, you know, just a second, when I did that, you can almost feel, wow, that everything is sucked inside. Okay, like a vacuum cleaner. It's going inside. So the thing is, you're engaged. That the same thing you can read from a book, but it's never going to be the same. And anyway, that was a short demonstration. If you prepare for your lessons, and if you prepare for the storytelling in your lessons, you're gonna have children at the end of the session saying, Miss, or sir, please, you know, carry on. Why are you stopping here? We want to see you again. They'll be looking forward to the next Sunday that they see you. Next one is you'll give practical examples, however, you know, you can, you know, and please relate these things. Look, I used to always ask students about what's going on in their schools. There's things we learn all the time. Today, I don't know if you know, I've just been hearing in the last 2 months a lot about vaping, right? right? And it's gone crazy. So it's the latest thing now. Vaping wasn't there in 2016. It wasn't there in 2012. It wasn't there in 2002. Okay? That time was something different. Now it's vaping, and they've got nicotine inside it. Now, if I was a teacher coming in lesson, I'll be asking about that, you know, what's happening in schools. I mean, somebody will say, sir, you know, in my lesson, in my class in school, a percentage of students, they vape. So I said, what's vaping? Now, I don't really know about someone, but they'll tell me, oh yeah, they buy. How do they buy these things if they're 18, you know, 75? Well, they just go to the shop and shopkeepers just sell it to them. Okay, what happens when they vape? Oh, they get this high, they get this buzz. So I'll get the whole thing, the whole class to discuss it. It's something new, it's relevant, it's happening out there. Then I'm going to tell them about the harms and dangers of it. I'm going to tell them not to do it. I'll give them something to go away, walk away, think, you know what, miss or sir, was we right that I shouldn't go down that pathway, it's going to destroy my life. And then we've got AFL assessment on learning, which we're going to talk about, which is, here we've got assessment within lessons, quizzes, discussions, group activities, workbook usage, peer marking, project-based work, imagine if all of these have been put in the workbooks, okay? Please use the workbooks effectively. One of the questions that came to us is, how do you check like the progress? How do you get the students to read the textbook at home? It's very simple. If you get them to complete the workbook material that we've got, 100% they have to read the entire chapter. There's no way you can answer those questions without reading the material. So you'll have that all covered. So we'll just start with one of the questions that you've got, which is, we'll start several books from year two. How do we ensure no knowledge gaps from year one textbook? Now, the way the books have been designed is that they always give you an extra level of knowledge from something previously you've learned. And that's how we got them layer by layer. Everything they learn keeps on adding on to what they've learned before. If you're starting year two book and they're not completed year one book, don't worry about that book. Don't worry about it at all, because everything in year two really is the concrete base of the entire syllabus. Year one just touches on certain elements, just getting them ready. It's like in year one, you're going to find things like names of Salah, names of the 5 days of Salah, or the Muslim pray 5 times a day. You'll just find things like, these are the positions of Salah. Like they say, they do qiyam, they stand up, they do ruku, they bow down, and so on and so forth. Now, those things are going to be covered again in year two, but with more extensively. So don't worry about that. Everything in year one, in terms of stories, there's some basic stories in there. All stories will get covered in depth from year two onwards. Okay, so don't worry about that. But however, if you're starting year four or year five, then what do you do? How do you recap year one, two, three, you know, altogether? So what we say normally is this. If you're starting in year three, or let's say in year four, and you've got 3 books now, how are you gonna cover 3 books? We say, first plan to look at books 1 to 3 and take out the essential parts of what's not to come later on and what's going to be really important for them to cover. And a very basic one is just look at the elements of fiqh, which is, you'll find it in the beginning of the book. If you look at the color scheme of the contents page, it will clearly tell you in orange which topics are to do with fiqh or with Islamic jurisprudence or Islamic law. All those elements in book 1, 2, and 3, just go over them, collectively cover all of that. Because that's the most important thing they will miss out on. In addition to that, you can look at the aqidah parts, things to do with their beliefs, and you can cover that. From books 1, 2, and 3. The aqidah parts are marked in blue in the beginning of the contents page. Now, once you've covered that, the rest of the stories, the rest of the things in there, they can always catch up later on. And what you can do is you can cover 1, 2, and 3 basic things in the first couple of months. It might take you 2 months, might take you 3 months. Thereafter, start them, all of them, on book 4. The whole class will be moving with book 4 throughout. The same applies with book 5 or book 6. Summarize, if you're doing book 6, summarize, and you're going to have to summarize many more weeks or months from books 1 to 5. Cover all essentials, especially with fiqh and aqidah, a few stories, if you want to cover them, alhamdulillah, cover them too. But then you start the entire class at a certain stage with book 5 and then move them on from 5 to 6 to 7 and so forth. Okay? There isn't much detail of self-application or moral application of the lesson at the end of the lesson plan. How can morals be included? Does all look? Morals are there at the end of all the stories, and you'll see that. The end of fiqh, or the end, even aqidah, when you cover the aqidah, everything we've done is being based on the Quran and Sunnah, and there's a lot to learn and take back from that. So whenever you see our aqidah lesson, you'll see a Quran, ayah, Quranic ayah, or hadith, and straight after that, they'll be told, in your life, we'll say that very clearly. You can see, like for example, we have Al-Khaliq, the creator, and we have a story with that, and then straight after that, it will be there, Al-Musawwir or something, Allah fashioned you. Allah created you, Allah fashioned your face. Now, here's you as a teacher, you know, everything's there, and the morals of the book, you're going to get the knowledge from the textbook. You're going to have to look at the workbook and the teacher's guide. The number one place for you to go to is the teacher's guide. Please read that. Look at the aims, look at the objectives, because a lot of it will be there, what you should cover by the end of the lesson. The lesson will cover something simple on fiqh, on what to do with, let's say how they're going to do their salah, okay? Something to do with, it might be even tayammum or something, okay? An ablution, a dry ablution they're going to do. Now, the aims and objectives, why you're delivering this lesson, why what you want students to know by the end of the lesson. If you read all of that from the teacher's guide, and then look in the workbook, because what we've done is, certain things we put in the workbook that prompt a lot more thought in the process of what they're thinking. So get hold of that, and then you'll see there's a lot more you can say than what you see in the textbook. So you'll always have something to say to the students. But do remember, when they've done something where you see nothing to do with morals, these children, the job has been done. If they're going to go out there and they're going to use the elements of what are in the books, that's the biggest part of them learning those sessions in the books. Training suggests less reading of the book in the class by the teacher. Okay, I want to cover this. Let's go to the next one. So, differentiation in class. So, you've got low ability, you've got high ability now. Again, you look at the workbooks, you'll see there's a standard level and there's an advanced level. The question you give everybody the standard level. Every student has to cover the standard questions in the workbook. Those questions are actually on an elementary basis, what you might call scaffolding, we're building them up, okay? But the higher deep end of their thinking process and getting them to think outside of the textbook comes when you do the advanced level, okay? That's your Bloom's taxonomy. That's your, when you look at your AFL and you look at the basic is recalling and understanding. So basic is that, oh, what happened here? How many were there? Who did this? This is just recalling. And when you get to the higher level, which is discussing and justifying something, which is the higher ability of AFL, and you look in our workbooks, you look at that advanced level, you see that. You're getting them now to think outside the box. Think outside the book, the classroom. And that's the real aim of learning. Have they taken that learning and have they transformed their lives? Okay? So, in the lesson, if you plan it, you can give extra time for difficult concepts. You can prepare extra resources to challenge the higher ability. So, if you've got a class and you think, okay, I've got 20 students here and I want to split them up, these 8 are advanced and these 12 are the standard. So, you should plan your lessons in a way that when it comes to doing those group activities, the advanced session or the advanced sort of groups, they can think on an advanced lesson just by your preparation, just by the question that you give them. Because you'll give different questions to different tables for them to have a discussion. And again, you can factor all of this in if you plan the lesson well. Okay, so we've got exam papers. That will be given at the end of the year, and they are automatically emailed. The brother Mubin and the whole team out there, they get these questions. The questions are actually being prepared from now. There's a lot of preparation for those questions, because every year we make a unique exam paper. So that will come about, is it May time? About? Yeah. So you can talk about that, shall we? So, what are the other ones? I'll cover the copy of it. So, teacher's guide, book 7, the teacher's guide 7 is out. Teacher's guide 8 is in the process. Now you have to understand that there is a lot of effort to get it to the level that you find in teacher's guide. So just to give you an idea, we don't just have one person just writing all this out. We have several people. It has to go through several processes. It even goes through when we have Muslim teachers who are teaching in primary schools, in secondary schools, who will go over that content itself, and will suggest what actually to put in those books, okay? And it goes through many, many different revisions to get that done. So Teacher's Guide 8 is in the process, inshallah, during this academic year, at some point it will be ready. What actually happened with the delay of that is the person, well, there was one major person who was behind, with many other people, but that major person, he was diagnosed with cancer. So may Allah give him shifa. It's been quite difficult for him and the family. And that set us back. Otherwise, that would have been out by now. So we're having to sort of find another avenue to get that, you know, done. With textbook 9, we'll always say, give us a few years for the next publication to come out. At the moment, 7 is good enough for you to cover over 2 years. 8 is enough for you to cover over 2 years. So you don't have to worry about that. However, 9 will take another at least 2-3 years to get it out. The reason being is that we have, you know, just to give you an idea, that one textbook 7 or the one textbook 8 that you see, the research, the editing, the illustration, the sub-editing, the format, the construction, the planning, the referencing, all of that to get done before printing. So we haven't even printed the book out. This is still now, just to get it to the PDF level where we're going to send it off to the printers, cost us an estimated 90 to 100,000 pounds to get that done. So there's a lot of work that happens, and it's done over about 3 years. So textbook 9 will go through the same thing. Inshallah, there's a lot coming in textbook 9 that will be, that I should call juicy, okay? There's a whole thing about Muta alayhi salam story coming in there as well. And I think we need a lot of what's going on in the current day. There's a lot of questions that are being asked about how do we navigate through this, and, you know, what's being taught in the schools and so on. But all that, again, will come in textbook 9 with a lot more, you know, with Sunnah, Shia differences, with how to deal with those differences and so on and so forth. It'll be there. Please bear with us. At the moment, we've got enough content to cover right up to end of year 9, all the way into year 10. If you're planning to do book 7 over 2 years, book 8 over 2 years, then definitely you've got up to the end of book in year 10 to cover. Brother Daniel also told me that you've got other books that, you know, that are still there, which you're going to use. Whatever books they are, whether they're serial books or other books, that's also something you can factor in as well for the secondary sort of students. So can I get you to cover the other parts?
Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Can everyone hear me okay? Yeah, everyone can hear me? It's audible? Okay, bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So Sheikh discussed about the teacher's guide 8 and the textbook 9. These were some of the other questions that you guys kindly sent forward to us. At the start, what I'd like to suggest also is that this is not just the one avenue to share questions. Alhamdulillah, we've got a very good relationship with Javed Bhai and Sheikh Rizwan. If throughout the academic year there are other questions that may arise, and naturally that might happen, we've got a whole team who provide that support to teachers. So please do speak to Sheikh Rizwan and Javed Bhai and share across these questions, and we'll try our best to answer them, inshallah. So Sheikh talked about the exam papers. Again, we'll make the exam papers available for you. I believe your academic year starts in January, and we will share that across to you. So the exam papers come with mark schemes and with some guidance as well. And the whole reason why it was done is to make life easier for teachers like yourself and across the world, because it's hard when you have got full-time jobs and so many other commitments to then write a paper, etc. So we have people who are for the team who actually prepare that. Past papers, again, will be shared across, so you can use it as part of your half-year exams or just as extra revision within your classrooms or as homework. that was a good question that was raised via the team, alhamdulillah. So past papers and all of the stuff that we mentioned here, I will share it across with Sheikh Ridwan, who will then cascade it to you guys, I'm sure, in a relevant manner. Revision guys, this is really important. We've actually spent quite a lot of money and time on a platform called the Safar Teachers Toolbox. And that toolbox, ultimately, it's like what you would expect in sort of mainstream schooling, where teachers from across the world would go and upload their resources, and the more resources that we get uploaded on there, it just allows teachers from across the world to access, and it becomes a sort of a continuous sort of charity, as you as teachers, as Sadaqa Jariya, other teachers across the world who may also access our resources. So I would like to say, if teachers from you know, from this institute want to upload resources, please, please do so. We have a level of checking that we do before we approve the resources. But alhamdulillah, there are already so many resources available that you guys can access. So, for example, you may be teaching in year three the story of Nabi Musa alayhi salam. You can go onto that resource toolbox, as Sheikh mentioned about planning, and just type in Nabi Musa alayhi salam, and you will find resources, activities, exercises that you can print off, download, and use in your lessons as extra activities for your students. So I'll share the link with Sheikh Ridwan, inshallah, but please do access it. And a request, please also upload resources on there, inshallah. It makes a jariah for you guys. One of the questions was raised about training quizzes. So alhamdulillah, many of you guys have gone through our separate training platform. At the start, what I'd like to say is the platform is actually going through, at the moment, what you're seeing is version one, you could say. Alhamdulillah, as Sheikh mentioned, we've invested a lot of time, effort, and money into it. It's actually now being totally revamped to, I would say, a version three, which will have the whole suite of quizzes, timestamps, assessments. So inshallah, make dua. I've spoken to the team before I actually got onto the train yesterday, and we're hoping to have that available by mid-November. So I believe your academic year starts in January. It will allow the teachers some time to go through some of them in bite-sized modules with quizzes. And again, I will share all of this across to Sheikh Ridwan via the necessary method, inshallah. Training certificates will all be a part of that. And what's even amazing, I believe you guys have got a lower school and an upper school. The head of your lower school will have access that he can see which teachers have completed which modules, who's clicked on how many videos, and just as a way, because we, within our academies, we have five academies, and it's a challenge to get teachers to complete it, because naturally, very busy, so it's a way just to motivate and a way to give some sort of oversight for the management to see who's completed which modules, etc., inshallah. And the best way that we found it, itself, and Sheikh Hassan mentions it quite a lot, is split it up into small brackets. Instead of saying, please go and complete the whole training, take a module at a time, or maybe even one video at a time, and give a 3-4 week timeline, and then you have like a discussion in the class or with the teachers, and build up slowly, and it's not just a 1 week, let's complete all the training. That's what we found that works well, and other institutes from Oman, we have a visitor that they have done in their madrasa that also works well, inshallah. So that's just advice for you then, inshallah.
Just to add on to that, it's very advisable for maybe brother and listener, or we've done this, we've got an Amir or someone who's floating while the teaching is going on, and he goes around, we've even got a deputy Amir. They go around and they see that training the teachers have done, they're implementing it while they're teaching. Because it's like when you learn how to drive, you can do the full driving book. You can go online and do the full driving course, right? But once you sit in the driver's seat and you're driving, you still need an instructor next to you for the next, I don't know how many hours, right? Every week you have another hour, 14 weeks, 15 weeks. He has to, you forgot to look in the mirror, or you forgot to signal, you forgot to get this right. So it takes time to implement all this. So if you can have someone who's trained in this to go around, or who's better at it, to see the new members of staff adapting themselves, it will be fantastic. And that's what we do in South Africa.
JazakAllah khairan, Sheikh. So now, these are some of the questions. We'll try to address the majority of the questions. One central theme came out from the feedback And I think, first of all, I'd like to say the syllabus review committee and the sort of documents that you guys presented, mashallah, were very, very thorough. And it kind of just showed how much time and effort the team placed before choosing the syllabus. That document shared so many insightful feedback. And one of the key feedbacks and the themes that I saw from there was student engagement and different modes of assessment for learning, whether it be quizzes, whether it be interactive elements to keep the children engaged. And we were reading that, and alhamdulillah, across the team, just before COVID actually, we noticed that there were many more of our students accessing knowledge, sacred Islamic knowledge, online. It's just the nature of the world that we have access to devices, children in school are receiving state-of-the-art resources and activities. And so we decided, alhamdulillah, while Safar really believes that teaching is done from teacher to student, heart to heart. And that's the key theme that Sheikh Hassan impresses upon everywhere when he does the training. But we've realized we also need an element of an online learning journey. Blended learning, they say, so many of the different types. So alhamdulillah, this has been 2.5 years, I think, just before COVID, in the making. Please make dua for the team that is behind it. There is so much work going on, but we are hoping with your du'as, with everybody's du'as, we can have this launched end of October. So what I'd like to share with you guys is some of the stuff that we have prepared as part of our online learning platform, which we have sort of titled it Independent to Safar, called Journey to Jannah. And the reason for it is because whether you're using the Safar syllabus or not, this can be your sort of online learning companion for you to use not only in your classrooms, but also with your parents, your siblings, or in other sort of settings that you may have, inshallah. So please make dua. I'm just gonna show you a few screens of how this looks, and hopefully if the tech is working okay, a bit of a show and tell. But the reason for why we're sharing this is two reasons. First reason is, this was the feedback that we received from the students at the institute here, that quizzes, online interactiveness is really needed. Alhamdulillah, this is something that we've tried to work on. And secondly, it's a bit of an exclusive for you guys, alhamdulillah. You put so much effort into the syllabus review that we wanted to show you this early doors so that you guys can plan and get it ready, inshallah, for January when your new academic year begins. So firstly, I've kind of touched upon it already, which is, why do you need a digital platform? So I'll just share the bullet points here. One of the key things is it allows students master the topics. So a teacher, alhamdulillah, may deliver a wonderful lesson on a Sunday, but as we know, even as adults, we forget that next week or 6 weeks down the line. It's just human nature. So the way that we built the activities, the way that it's bite-sized, is to focus upon mastery of a topic, which is really, really important. We've talked about engaging way for students to learn, alhamdulillah. I'm sure everybody in this auditorium agrees that online learning is needed and not just textbook and workbooks, and we've opted for a blended sort of learning approach. Many teachers, not only within this auditorium, but people watching online, many Mukhtar teachers, school teachers, madrasa teachers find that students may go home and learn things in an incorrect way, where parents, mashallah, really eager to work with the students and work with their children, but don't have the necessary skills. It's a challenge we face at Safar Academy. So alhamdulillah, that's why the whole platform was put together. It can also work as a learning tool for parents and siblings who may not even attend the institute. Bite-sized content we've discussed. A child can learn at their own pace. Many times we see in certain classrooms, the class progresses, but certain students have got different learning styles, kinesthetic learners, audiovisual learners, etc. So this is another way to bridge that gap between the lower ability students and the higher ability students, because ultimately, we as teachers, we have a responsibility with our students to give them that knowledge at that age that will set them up for their life for future, inshallah. So that's another key reason why we needed this learning platform. And yes, it does complement the separate syllabus, but as I mentioned at the start, those not using the separate syllabus can also utilize it. And it's one of the reasons why we've branding it differently with Journey to Jannah, inshallah. So I'll just whiz through because I really want to show you the demonstration of it. Just by looking at this, you can see that it's done in a way that is to really capture young minds, immersive course paths, to make the students feel that they're on a journey from point A to sort of point B, inshallah. And I'll show you this as a demonstration, inshallah. Embedded activities. This, I believe, is one of the sort of key, unique selling points, if you want to call it, where not only are the students accessing authentic traditional knowledge, but they've also got activities and also quizzes and different forms of assessments to really help them. So it's not like an exam at the end of the year, which institutes across the world do. It's kind of assessments that are built within in bite-sized modes. Again, I'll show you a demonstration of that, inshallah. I know this institute, they have a different approach to sort of, Qaida, Quran, and Juz'amma, but it will also contain our Learn to Read series. So a clickable Qaida so that students, parents alike, can hear correct pronunciations and activities linked to the Qaida, Juz'amma, etc., inshallah. This is a bit later in our development plan, maybe March, but that's one of the features of the platform. So please make dua for that. And again, this will help those parents who may not have even accessed sort of quality education when they were here in the UK in the 80s, 90s. So it's a way that parents and their children can work together as well, inshallah. So now I'll just show you a practical demonstration of the platform. If you just give me a few seconds just to get this loaded up. And hopefully you can appreciate the time and effort that has gone into. Can we see that, John? So this is kind of like what the course paths and the journeys will look like. You can see it automatically should capture a young mind with the way that the imagery and everything's laid out. And this is just screenshots that I'm sharing, but it takes them on a journey from part one, part two, and it's replicating what's in the book. So as a teacher in this institute, you may be teaching the story of Nabi Musa alayhi salam. Just a very short demonstration I'll share. So the teacher will talk about the lesson objectives, teacher will share, but then can say, take a step back and say, okay students, we're gonna spend 2 minutes on this. So now I'll show you the online platform. This is still work in progress, how it's gonna look. But now Nabi Musa lesson, for instance, teacher takes a step back and lets the students watch this on their smart boards or on your projectors. And I'm just gonna play this for you, hoping the audio and everything loads up. It's a 2 minute clip, inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum. In this lesson, we are going to be listening to the story of Nabi Musa alayhi salam, part one. Long, long ago, in a country now known as Egypt, there was a king called Fir'aun. Fir'aun means the same thing as Pharaoh, and he was a very bad and evil person. He did not believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and shockingly, he even told people that he was God. He wanted everyone to worship and glorify him, and he would punish the people that did not listen. How could Fir'aun lie and say that he was God, when we know there is only one God, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala?
So built within the bite-sized videos, and we've done this with a lot of thought, many a time we may do training, professional training, strategy training, where we start the video and we skip all the way to the end, just so that we get the tick mark that is completed. So we put in inbuilt activities as a timestamp, where now the students, not only can they play it and walk off, that in class they either have to go to the board and complete it, or at home, unless they do this section, they can't go on to the next video. It's a learning technique used in online learning that we've adopted. And if you can see on the screen, there are three timestamps in this video that requires manual intervention. So you can't just play an auto times two and think it's done. And then it checks your answers and you get coins linked to it, like a sort of gamification process.
Just to mention, there will be other words with that, right?
Yes.
he felt from the dream meant something. But he didn't know the meaning of his dream, so he asked his servants if they knew. They told him that soon a boy would be born who would grow up and put an end to his evil kingdom. Hearing this, he became furious and ordered his men to get rid of all the baby boys in Egypt. In a strange twist of fate, Musa alayhi salam was to be born at this troubling time. His mother did not want her baby boy to be gotten rid of by Fir'aun's men and was extremely worried. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala soon guided her. She was to put baby Musa alayhi salam in a basket and then place the basket into the River Nile. What do you think might happen to a helpless baby in a basket floating down the river?
Again, you can see that it's linked so that a student has to go to the screen and say, you click on the wrong one.
Scary as that sounds,
the teacher can talk about
it. Musa alayhi salam's mother had faith that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would protect him. So baby Musa alayhi salam traveled down the Nile safely, right until Fir'aun's wife, Asiya, found him, still floating in the river. Now she was a good and kind and pleaded with Fir'aun to let her keep the baby as her son. Do you think he agreed? He did. So, by an utter miracle from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, baby Musa alayhi salam was saved. Not only was he saved, he grew up in Fir'aun's palace, the very man that had commanded his followers to get rid of all the baby boys was now helping to raise him. What a twist! Musa alayhi salam's adventures continue in part 2.
So what you've seen there is one of the lessons from textbook 1 that has been animated, audio scripted, edited. There's so much that has gone on behind every single lesson in our primary syllabus. We'll have that animated video in bite-sized versions. So what I will show you next, inshallah, is the quizzes. So this was one of the feedbacks that was raised from this institute about how can we have more quizzes in lessons and ways to engage young learners. Many of you, I'm sure, will have heard of a platform, I think, called Kahoot. We've tried to apply a very similar approach to Kahoot, but it's all custom built from our own technicians, inshallah. So this is a quiz. And once the quiz starts, you have questions. Whoever responds the quickest, say, I click this, na'udhu billah, it will tell you that you've lost your streak, like in Kahoot, where the more streaks you have, the higher points and scores you get. And then we move on to the next question, etc. So this can be done either in class as a group exercise, or teachers can actually tell students, please go home and attempt the quiz, and teacher will have access to see which students have completed their lots of results. We only showcase the top 4 students. Because we know, we have our own institutes, it's never nice to actually share that a student is at the bottom of the league. So there's so much thought that has been put into every single angle so that it is accessible for teachers in class, but also accessible for students at home, inshallah. And as you notice, you get points and coins, which all add up to, which I'll hopefully like to show you, is this, where it's a whole avatar system. So we know that our children are accessing all of these games and so many things where get so many coins, build an avatar. This is still development in process, but there'll be things like they, with their coins, they can buy a rucksack. With their coins, they can buy Islamic books. With their coins, they can buy a miswak. But it's up to them what they choose their coins on. And as a teacher, you can see how your student has built their avatar. And it's just a way to keep them really motivated, engaged. Gamification is a big terminology used in the online learning sort of platform. I'll just have a look to see if there's anything else that I've missed. Okay, so I showed you Nabi Musa alayhi salam, which is a story. And that is quite easy, you could say, to see as an animated video. But how can we deliver fiqh, which is sometimes seen as like a dry content, in an online bite-sized version? So this, I believe, is from textbook 5, Types of Rulings. So I'll just showcase you this for 2 minutes, and then we'll just wrap up and I'll let Sheikh talk a bit more about the final part of this training session, inshallah.
Islam is not only a religion, but a complete way of life. Through the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught us how to live our daily lives. He taught us how we should and should not act. What is a Muslim's ultimate goal? That's right.
Question that makes them think even before they've studied this topic. So again, I've just chosen the wrong answer, but it tells us how we should look at them, how we should understand that question. And there's these inbuilt activities across every single bite-sized video.
The first type of warning is font, which means obligation. It must be done. A font action is a command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and is usually found in the Quran or the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Font actions are a part of what form the foundations of our belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so a person must believe in them. A key example of font actions are the five pillars of Islam. Place each label under the correct corresponding image.
Retry, and it gives you which ones you have got right, whether you've received any points or coins, and which ones you've got wrong, so you can retry and try again.
Wajib comes second to Fard, but like Fard, a person should never miss out on a Wajib action. For example, Rukh Salah is Wajib. Fard and Wajib actions have the most rewards as they are the most important. So missing them intentionally is considered sinful.
So that was just a quick demonstration of how the fiqh lessons can be done in an engaging, interactive way, but not something that is dry where you just see bullet points and fard is this and wajib is this, etc. There is a need for certain times bullet points, but we felt that to teach fiqh, we have to bring it in a way that the students don't just get used to sort of parrot fashioning and remembering these bullet points, but not understanding the reasons for why it is and further thinking, inshallah. So ultimately, this was just a very short sort of demonstration for you guys. There's so much more as part of the platform. I've not showcased how a class is set where teachers can see it, where teachers can see how their students are progressing in leaderboard. That's all still work in progress. But this is the dashboard that I wanted to show you. So Each student, if the institute decides that you want to purchase this for every one of your students, Bismillah, they'll have their own access, and we recommend this. So each student has their own learning journey, they can work at it at home. If an institute wants to only use it in their classrooms, again, that's also fine. The key thing that we thought when we're building this platform is, it's not built to replace the teacher. Rather, it's used to complement and support the teacher. So that's why we really would like it to be utilized in classrooms, but also at home for that thing that I mentioned about mastery of a topic so that they can work with their siblings, etc. So this is a home page, the dashboard you call it, and you can see here notifications they may get from their teachers, how many coins they've earned, and where they started last, which were the courses they signed up to, and badges that they've achieved as part of the gamification strategy. One thing I want to show to you, this is a practice tracker. So Maktab teachers, Madrasa teachers across the world have this concern. Are our children reading the Quran at home? Are they accessing the books that we have given them at home? And there may be a need for sort of individual diaries that parents have to purchase. But what we have done is we built it within the system. So hoping that it loads up, let's get started. Practice tracker, sorry, this is what I need to go through. So you want to update your practice? How much of the Quran have you read? How much of your textbook have you actually read at home? You've got 5 minutes, 10 minutes, the date's logged in. There's a hadith there for encouragement, and you actually log your practice. And what that does is, when that teacher comes into their madrasa on a Sunday, they can see which students have done how many hours of practice without having to ask them awkward conversations, how many hours have you studied? Because sometimes students don't like being called out in front of other students. We know it's not the best way to sometimes get information. So this is like a remote central log that the teacher can have. But also, I go back to what Sheikh mentioned at the start, those actions most beloved to Allah is the ones that are done continuously, even if they are small. And that's one of the thought processes that has gone behind this platform. So with that said, it was a very quick sort of overview. I apologize if I'm not giving it justice. The team behind it have worked incredibly hard for probably 3+ years. Please make dua for us. Once we launch it, there may be little bugs, and we will be working at it, but we really hope that you guys in Bristol can promote this, utilize it not only within your institutes, but to parents alike, inshallah. I'll hand over to Sheikh to discuss the last few points and another theme that came up in the questions that were raised from you guys. If there are any other questions that have been raised within your breakout sessions as part of this inset, there'll be hopefully opportunities for you to address them. So I'll hand over to Sheikh now, inshallah.
Okay, so we've got to what you call it. So I'm going to quickly go over the next couple of slides, and I'm going to open up to any further Q&A that you've got. So what you see on the actual board is an ayah of the Quran, and Allah Azza wa Jalla has told us that this is what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did as a whole, as a whole thing for the Sahaba of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And there are many things in there. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam recited the verses that were that came onto him to the students of Sahaba of Allah Azza wa Jalla. I want you guys to understand that, please. I want you to highly encourage the students to do their Quranic learning, of learning the Quran, even if it's just in Arabic, to learn that, because it will develop it in many, many different ways. Just reciting the Quran has so much barakah. It gives them so much, so many good deeds for the akhirah. It makes you someone who's connected to Allah very closely. Why? Because you're repeating His words in exactly the way He said them. Okay? So when you say Yasin, Wal-Qur'an al-Hakim, you're actually repeating the exact thing that Allah said, and that gives you a lot of connection with Allah, gives you protection, it gives you love of deeds, it makes your connection to the Quran stronger. Yes, we should have our students learn the meaning of the Quran. I 100% agree with you. But let's not, in the process, you know, not get them to go over at least the, you know, the actual recitation of the Quran in Arabic. It's a must, and we've been doing this for over 1400 years. It's a part of us, and it develops students as people. There's something that I studied when I was doing my MA in education psychology, which is that there is in certain cultures an oral tradition. This oral tradition is passed down, and what it does is it brings in discipline with the oral tradition. So to explain that, the teacher went through Japanese culture, Japanese oral tradition. They have a long set of litanies that they have to memorize, they have to repeat, just as their teachers learn, their teachers teaches them. It's a very old system. What it does is it improves your memory skills, improves their ability to retain that information, and it obviously increases the capacity to keep a lot more information in many other different areas. Anyhow, it brings inside them a discipline. It forms their character and skills in a certain way. When we recite Quran, there's a lot in there in Arabic. For you to hold your breath, for you to say, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. For you to raise your voice, for you to say the full verse, for you to say the correct pronunciation of every single letter, for you to lengthen where it should be long, for you to make it short where it should be short, for you to, you know, do that, it's an art, okay? It's an art in itself. And that creates a discipline in the children that go through this. And it transforms them. It transforms them as Muslims. This is our big identity. Yes, we should be an ummah who understands the Quran. 100% I'm with you on that. But Rasulullah, one of the first things he did is that he recited those verses, and he made the Sahaba recite those verses back to him as well. This is a tradition from Allah to Jibreel to Muhammad. Muhammad did it with the Sahaba, Sahaba did it with the Tabi'in, generation will be doing it till today. We should not have students who grow up and who don't know how to recite the Quran in Arabic. So that's something, inshallah, that I'm sure some of your students will really go to other places to do that. Some of them are doing it online. Inshallah, as an academy, you can think about how to implement it better, but I'll leave you with that. So now, a couple of things what Rasulullah used to do is that he's not only giving them, he's not only reciting the verses, he's giving them the meaning of the book. وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابُ, okay? Which will come later, but just here you can see وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to purify them. As a teacher, if your level of practicing Islam is high, your students will do exactly the same thing. If your level of practicing Islam is low, your students are going to be just as much as what you are. There's a story, a true story in Egypt. There was a person who came to the Imam and said, Imam, can you tell my child here to have, you know, less sweets? Okay? Not to have too many sweets. So the Imam said, Come back to me next week. So the person came after Jumu'ah next week and said, Imam, can you tell my child please to have less sweets? So the Imam said, come back to me next week again. So the person came back again the next week. Said, Imam, can you tell my child to stop having, you know, sweets? Sweets. Come back to next week. About 3 weeks or 4 weeks after that, finally the Imam turned to the child and said, can you please cut down your sweets? And the child actually listened. Now, the father was a bit confused. The father said, why couldn't you do that the first week? Well, the second, why did you have to bring me back week after week? The Imam said, because I had a problem with my own sugar levels. Right? I was addicted to sugar. So how can I, as an imam, tell this child not to have that many sweets when I am addicted to sugar? So I had to lessen that in the last few weeks, and then I said to the child, did you see how your child implemented that in his life? He said, yes, but that's basically amal. When you practice what you preach or what you teach, your students will do it automatically. When you don't, I'm afraid, they will only go about the world only goes up to the level where you're at. And Allah, mashallah, some students will go, you know, beyond that. But as a teacher, we all should have, as teachers, we should all have that practice in our lives. So the final two things. Do you understand that, you know, that connection we have with our students? One of the main things you can see on the board there is about sohbah, which is our companionship. The Sahaba were Sahaba because of the fact that they were companions of the Prophet. They molded their lives according to Rasulullah, but they had to teach, they had to see him, they heard him, they watched him, they observed him, they lived with him. They stood with him, they went out with him, they saw him in the masjid, they saw him outside, they walked with him to the marketplace, so on and so forth. This was companionship. We as teachers should not just see Sunday morning or see Monday to Friday, those few hours that we got, that's it, job done. We need to live, and they need to live with us in the public, you know, sphere. And when they do that, and they see us practicing Islam, that's the thing before. For example, very briefly, sabr, patience. You can teach a whole thing on sabr very quickly. But to practice sabr takes a lifetime. When you will practice sabr is when you have a problem in your life. When that problem has occurred, and a student comes up to you, and the student says, teacher, you know, what do I do? And you say, well, let's go over this again. This is where you need to implement your sabr. They've got their problem. They now need to have patience. That's what Rasulullah did for the Sahaba. It was live examples, things were going wrong. And that's what we told them, have tawakkul on Allah. Depend on, this is where you now practice what you've learned. So this is real learning. Rasulullah did teach them the meaning of the book. He taught them what the book is saying. And this has to be some look. I'm going to ask you teachers, this one quick question. How many of you have, in your life, at least once, gone through the entire Quran meaning in English or in Urdu or any other language you understand it? How many of you have gone from cover to cover once in your life? Cover to cover, you've done it. Please raise your hands up high. Right, there you go. There's six people, seven people out of, you know, how many of you got here? 45 or 50 people out there. That's the reality. We have 50 people out here. That's the reality. I need to look. You've got Quran there in English. You've got translations, you've got tafsir, you've got so many. They're all over the market. You've even got it online. If I haven't gone through the Quran once in my life, in a language that I understand, what will I say to Allah the Day of Judgment when He says, when He asks me, I said to them, did you actually understand? Did you actually go through some of the message that I gave you? Did you understand what I was telling you? I mean, what will happen to me, what will happen to you when that question is posed to us? And for my own good sake, should I not go through the contents of the Quran once in a lifetime? Right? You could do it over 3 years if you just do a page a day or something of some Quranic sort of study book. Anyway, the final thing that the Prophet did pass on to them was hikmah, which is wisdom. When to act upon the knowledge that you have, how much to act upon it, when to stop, when not to act upon it. This is all hikmah, this is all wisdom. When to apply what you know is wisdom. An example of that is Rasulullah said, "Man ra'a minkum munkaran falyughayyirhu biyadihi." Prophet said, "Whoever of you sees an evil, you should stop it with your hand." And he said, "If you can't do it, you stop with your tongue. If you can't do it, then hate it with your heart." Now, when do you stop with your hand? Who should do that? When do you stop with your tongue? When you shouldn't speak out against injustice? When should you just hate it from your heart? This is wisdom. There's a large section about religion, about teaching us wisdom, and we need to have that in place as well. So anyway, we're going to move very quickly now, and I'll just bang on at the end of our time. Are there any further questions you have from the latest observation of the video that you did? Any last questions that you have, please raise your hands.
So, I was actually thinking, we've not even got down to working out the costs. We've spent so much on the platform over 3 years. We're kind of toyed, because Safar, alhamdulillah, a not-for-profit organization, everything that we do is we invest it back into creating further resources. And so a few years ago, we launched a Dua and Surahs app, which cost in excess of 70,000 to 80,000 pounds. This one has exceeded that by far greater, because every single lesson, I believe we've got like 148 lessons, have been animated, edited, audio. So we're kind of internally having a discussion about how can we price it in a way that it's accessible, but also in a way that we can also continue to create further resources. So unfortunately, we don't have the answer because we're toyed within our team. Shane can mention a bit more if I've missed anything. But we, one of the things that Sephora does is we want to be affordable, and we will be affordable and accessible, inshallah, for every institute and parent. The key thing that I mentioned here, that we are a not-for-profit organization. So even like, alhamdulillah, this academy is gonna use the separate syllabus. That not only is seen as a cost to the syllabus, it's actually a sadaqa ijariya for you, because the investment that you make into the syllabus allows us to create further more resources, which we hope that, you know, the system of Allah is that you guys are rewarded abundantly for that. So cost we haven't nailed down, but we're hoping that it's gonna be a very minimal cost, either for the institute or for the parent. Whether we go down a subscription model of a couple of pounds a month, we still don't know. There's so much more that we're doing in the background. But JazakAllah, it's a really good question.
Putting this way, that the books that we've got, some of the books, people have told us that if we wanted to, we could have sold these books for £30 a shop, or £15 if we wanted, but we didn't. I made a very clear thing in the beginning. We want every family, every child, every background to be able to afford these books. And that's always been our way of moving forward. Yes, there are costs in getting things, material like this available, and whatever we get from those costs back, it goes back into further development. And inshallah, that's how you grow, you keep your growth, inshallah. So anyway, have you got any other further questions?
Good.
Okay,
question from our workshops. In the work
questions, are standard and advanced questions. Do
the exam papers reflect this? Are there separate,
Are the exam papers a mixture
of standard and advanced, or
is there a separate paper for standard and for advanced students?
How are they?
It's mixed together in one paper that the whole class will get. However, the questions do start off with the standard and then they move on to the advanced. But the marking scheme is such that you clearly understand that if a student gets X amount and they're from an advanced level, then they hit this certain mark. And if they're from a standard level, they should hit that kind of mark, you know, that kind of level, from this mark to that mark. So it's all explained in there, but once they get the paper, it will be one paper per class. Yeah, every student will start with a little standard one, and then they'll move on to the more sort of advanced. But the advanced questions that appear in there are less than the standard questions that will appear in the coming exam papers. Got someone on this side.
While we do get to the next question, something that I missed out. As Sheikh mentioned, textbook 7 and textbook 8, there is enough content and it's so in depth of content that it can be covered over 2 academic years. And we would actually recommend this, because you can whiz through the book when you've covered it at a very surface level. And this is a question that came through as well from the survey that you guys shared the outputs of. And so what we would suggest you do, there's 2 different approaches. You could either take for your year 7 class to cover half of the book in the first academic year, but do it unit by unit. So maybe cover from unit 1 to unit 3. That's one approach you can take. The approach that we would recommend is you take half of each unit and you cover that in year 1, and then the next half in year 8. And then we've got resources that we can share with the team where you know which units to cover in year 7 and which units to cover in year 8. There's the first 2 units, we recommend that's studied in the first year, because that's essential knowledge, so that we recommend you cover that in that first year. So that was a question that was raised. So that's the same for textbook 7 and for textbook 8. As Sheikh mentioned, alhamdulillah, for Teacher's Guide 7 is available. And you'll notice on the Teacher's Guide for 7, it's a whole different layout and an approach to teachers' guides 1 to 6. Because naturally, students who are in primary school, they have a different style of teaching to sort of in the secondary upper school, which you guys have split. So in the secondary segment, there's so many more discussions and conversations and group works. You'll notice it when you look at the teacher's guides, inshallah. And in the absence of teacher's guides 8, you can take so much inspiration from teacher's guide 7. It will help you. I know that we don't have teacher's guide 8 yet, but you can take that inspiration and that approach from teacher's guide 7. And we also have another implementation guide for teacher's guide 8, which we'll share. So whoever is teaching textbook 8, if that is a book that you guys are going to use in this academy, yes, we know teacher's guide 8 isn't there, but there is plenty of other resources to help you plan your lesson, inshallah. It's something that I missed earlier that I just thought I'll share.
Just on a note on that, the reason why we put 7 and 8 like that is because across the country, we've got a lot of students that leave, unfortunately, they leave at the age of 12. 11, 12, they've done it, and then they leave them mocked up. It's very unfortunate thing because they learn how to read the Quran, they finish the Quran once, khatam, they do that, and they never return back to the mother set again. At Sub Academy, we change that because we make students read the Quran several times and finish it at home, so there's no khatam graduation thing. The next thing is that once we complete the entire syllabus, what we're going to do is that we're going to split. We're going to put these books 7, 8, 9, whatever, into exact years that can be covered. But for now, we put 2 books out there because if students are leaving, those teachers can cover whichever contents they deem necessary, and then the students are going to obviously leave. The question from here, please. Okay, so later on I'll get Brother Kareem to share the, we do have a whole donation sort of section. I think when we started off the project, we did go around the country, we did ask and we appealed for donations. We even came to Bristol, I remember, 2013, I think it was, kind of as much as it was. But we took forms from different parts of the country. People have given regular contributions and donations, alhamdulillah. We really, really thank all the donors out there. Without their help, this wouldn't have been possible. And yes, we'll share that if anybody wants to still carry on. These days, what we do is we take in less donations. These donations are welcome, but whatever monies we've actually recouped from selling the material, we've always poured it back into recreating more material.
There was one question that Sheikh Ibrahim mentioned, which was about teacher's guides in editable format. And so if you look at each teacher's guide, in the back there is a blank lesson plan that any teacher can use to help them plan their lessons. And I mentioned earlier how we have the teacher's toolbox. So on the actual toolbox itself, there is a teacher's guide that is editable, so each individual teacher can customize their lesson plan according to what they're delivering. And in a longer sort of roadmap of stuff, as you may appreciate, we have so many ideas and so many things that we have that are valid to implement. Because our team is small and because of certain focuses that we've got of textbook 9, etc., we sometimes can't implement everything as it happens. But in the long term, we are hoping to have editable online teachers' guides as a digital version that teachers can sort of access and utilize. In the absence of that, as I mentioned, there is blank teachers' guides at the back of each teacher's guide and also lesson plans on the online portal. I'll just quickly demonstrate it, if I can, inshallah. It'll be good to showcase. Okay, that's fine. So I'll share it with Sheikh Ridwan that we've got a teacher's toolbox. So you literally could go in there and type in whatever lesson you're delivering next Sunday, just for some inspiration, and it will just pop up. But I do have to add that caveat that the more we get uploads from external institutes, the greater it will. But alhamdulillah, from our academies, we've got dozens, if not thousands of resources on there, but inshallah, we want it to be in the hundreds of thousands so that teachers across the world can access it, inshallah. So with that said, I thank so much to the committee, the organizing team who have invited us. It's been wonderful. It was classes and training day. Ultimately, there's so much to do, we can never cover absolutely everything. The online training portal is probably your first access point, and please do go over them in detail. Any questions you may have, please let us know. Our team will be able to support you wherever we can, inshallah. So thank you so much. I'll just add Sheikh to say final few words of the Dua, and we can wrap up, inshallah.
I think we'll finish here, inshallah. So may Allah Azza wa Jalla make it a successful day for us and a successful future for all of us. Subhanallah wa alhamdulillah wa Allah, we're asking to guide us, to be our guide, to protect us, to move us forward, to give us true understanding of the Quran and Sunnah, for us to implement that in our lives, for us to bring that into the lives of others, for us to give da'wah, for us to become da'is, and for us to call towards you and your religion, for us to become exemplars in this world, for you to be happy with us, for us to be happy with you, for us to give us the best life in this world and a much better life in the next world. صلى الله تعالى على حضرة محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين آمين.
جزاكم الله خيرا للشيخ حسن علي and for the Mubeen, mashallah. A lot of knowledge has been shared today, inshallah. Hopefully we'll share some links with the videos that have been recorded today, inshallah, with the rest of the staff. And so first off, I want to go over this video to get more information later on, inshallah. So we really appreciate your attendance, and jazakumullah khair to the guests from Green Bank Masjid for joining us as well. Really appreciate that. We have now finished with the the presentation and the workshops. The day is over. We will be setting up for lunch now, inshallah. So the brothers, if the brothers can remain in this theatre hall, inshallah, the food will be brought over here for the brothers. The sisters, inshallah, if you can kindly make your way over to the Beacon Centre, then we will, inshallah.